السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه، فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. وقال تبارك وتعالى: ويوم يعد الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا، يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا، لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله، فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء مع من أحبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most valuable thing that we have is iman. The most valuable thing that we have is our iman. There is nothing that is more precious, more valuable that Allah has bestowed us and given to us than our iman. We have to remind ourselves about this, talk about it, and not forget this. Because sometimes we get carried away and we then attach importance and value to something else. Some material things, maybe some other person, whatever it is, we have to keep on coming back, reminding ourselves, most important, most valuable aspect or thing that we have is iman. Allah has given all of us, alhamdulillah, sitting here and listening to this Jummah, Allah has given us the most valuable thing in this world. If we have everything of this world and don't have iman, you are unsuccessful. If you have nothing of this world but you have iman, then you are successful. That automatically is clear enough. That is the most valuable thing. Now it's important for us to remind ourselves how also the people of the past, the Sahaba Ikram, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, the sacrifice they underwent so that they can preserve this iman and that iman can reach us. Sacrifice had to be made. Now why I'm mentioning this is important because every morning, alhamdulillah, we recite from a very valuable book, which is Hayatul Sahaba. And I think all of us in our homes should get a copy of this book and read every day and try and extract lessons. Part of our talim, Fazail Amal, Fazail Sadaqat, Hayatul Sahaba also, very, very crucial and important lessons for us that we can implement in our lives. So I thought I just want to share one or two of the aspects that we're reading in the last few mornings. Because it's very important to remind ourselves, linking to the importance of that most valuable thing that we have. So, he's talking about in the chapter and the section entitled, the injuries that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu endured. The injuries that they endured while they're out in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, again, these are not just like fairy tale stories you're making up. These are realities. And this is actually what happened to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ikram. The injuries endured out in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So he talks about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. There's so many incidents, but I'm just talking about this particular chapter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Uhud, the links of the helmet goes into his face. And the tooth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loses a tooth. So that is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His finger starts to bleed. He's injured because he falls somewhere. His finger starts to bleed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes the famous statement, Hal anti illa isba'in damiti. This is only a finger that blood is coming out. Understand, wa fi sabilillahi ma laqiti. This honor of sacrificing some blood is out whilst you're in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So like that, there are numerous incidents in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the hardships he underwent in Taif and the different things we perhaps can reflect upon. But then it goes on explaining in that particular chapter about the injuries that I'm just going to explain in the sequence of numerical order. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is first the number 21 injuries on his body, 21 wounds on his body whilst in the Battle of Uhud. Then he mentions the incident of Talha bin Ubaidullah. Talha bin Ubaidullah, in the same Battle of Uhud, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured. So the Sahaba went to look after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take care, help him, assist him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and look after, go and see and take care of Talha bin Ubaidullah. And when they went, he had fallen into a ditch. And when they went and saw to him, they counted 70 wounds on his body, Talha bin Ubaidullah. So I'm talking about Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, 21 injuries on his body. Talha bin Ubaidullah, 70 injuries on his body. How much did we endure for the deen? Then it talks about Hazrat Anas bin Nadr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Anas bin Nadr is the maternal uncle of Anas bin Malik, a famous sahabi. In fact, he says that I was given the name Anas bin Malik after my maternal uncle Anas bin Nadr. He was in a particular expedition of, he couldn't participate in the Battle of Badr for whatever reason. So he said he took an oath that he'll have to make amends. He'll have to compensate for not participating in the Battle of Badr. And when the Battle of Uhud came, the opportunity came for participating in battle, they saw this person that is going. And Ghaliban ibn Asad bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu asked him, where are you going? You're like in a hurry to go. He says, I can smell the fragrance of Jannah ahead of me. And he throws himself into the thick of the battle, sacrificed his life, and his body, I'm just talking about numerical injuries. When they counted the number of injuries on his body, it was 80. 80 wounds on his body with the spear, with the arrow. In fact, the sacrifice that he made by putting himself in the thick of the battle, some of the scholars and the Mufassirin say that the ayah of the Quran that they recite was revealed with regards to Anas ibn Nadr radiallahu anhu. His body could not be recognized. His sister, by the name of Rubay, she had to come and identify him via his fingerprints, via his finger, his fingers. Maybe there was some way that you could recognize, this is the body of my brother, Anas bin Nadr. So this ayah of the Quran, some ulama say, it was revealed regarding him. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ, that amongst the believers are some men, رِجَال, صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ, that they have fulfilled their pledges, they promised to Allah. He promised to Allah that he didn't participate in the Battle of Badr for whatever reason. He is going to make amends. So صَدَقُوا, whatever promise and word you gave to Allah, he kept to it. صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ, and then say, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَى, then amongst them are those who have sort of fulfilled their pledge. They have taken their share and they have taken their reward. And he said they achieved the highest and they made the ultimate sacrifice. قَضَى نَحْبَهُ, they have reached Jannah. They have become shaheed and martyred in the path of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ, and there are some who are still waiting for their share. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا, and they haven't changed in their determination. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا, whatever resolutions, whatever promises they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they haven't changed. So this is Anas ibn Nadr radiallahu anhu. Then we come now to the next one, was a very famous expedition also of Mu'ta, where Rasulullah SAW dispatched the Sahaba, and he said, okay, the first person in charge will be Zayd bin Haritha. And if Zayd bin Haritha is martyred, then it will be Ja'far bin Abi Talib. If he is martyred, if something happens to him, then it will be Abdullah bin Rawaha. And then after that, you must decide who is going to be the lead after that. So it's another lengthy, beautiful incident to read, but I'm just focusing on the injuries of the Sahaba. So after Zayd bin Haritha was martyred, then it was Ja'far bin Abi Talib. He was martyred. And when they looked in the battlefield, they went and searched for his body. They counted 90 wounds on the body of Ja'far bin Abi Talib, and they saw that all the wounds were in the front, signifying that he wasn't running away, that they were shooting at him. He faced the enemy, all the spears and the arrows on the front of his body, 90. So just to recap, we spoke about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrifices, but I suppose Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, 21 injuries on his body. Talha bin Ubaidullah, 70 injuries on his body. Anas bin Nadr, 80 wounds on his body. And the last one I said, Jafar bin Abi Talib, 90 wounds on the front of his body, spears, arrows, and all of that. That is the sacrifice that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had to make so that deen can remain alive, and more importantly, so that deen can spread. Now, this that they have undertaken, the sacrifice they made was for what? For nothing else but deen, for the most valuable thing that we have, iman. If it wasn't for the sacrifice that they made, and as I said, ultimate sacrifice of their life, Allah knows what would have been the condition of us, whether we would receive the iman. Now the question that we need to know, I mentioned the story now, the last 10 minutes I'm telling you about all of this. We sometimes listen to these stories, but we don't try and take some practical, implementable, immediate steps in our lives. And therefore every week we're listening to talks upon talks upon talks, and we're hearing inspirational advices on the radio and this way and that way, every way. But the ultimate thing is the maqsood, or you say the objective and the goal is not to listen only. It is good, it's beneficial, inshallah, to listen to the talks of deen. It's then its place, it has its benefit and merit, it motivates you. But it must lead us to some action. And that's where we are lacking. We listen and we know lots of things. Unfortunately, when it comes to amal, which is actually the objective, we have shortchanged ourselves, and we are deficient to a great extent in that aspect. And therefore, my humble plea in mentioning this thing is appreciate the most valuable thing we have is our iman. But we have to make some effort. We have to do some practical, implementable things so that the iman can remain preserved in our lives and the progeny that we have living behind, the communities around us. And if we who have it are not going to do something, then unfortunately the reality and the communities around us, we're not talking about now, before we talk about other parts of the world, people are living the fall of iman and this is what's happening, you know, we should say, okay, it's happening. Now, right on our doorstep, right, it may be your neighbor, maybe somebody down the road, because of not making effort on iman and not appreciating what is the most valuable thing, they're living the fall of Islam and the most valuable thing which hasn't been taken as item of value, they're just easily leaving it. And that which is more valuable to them, which is the dunya or some woman or whatever reason, they are taking that to heart and they are very easily abandoning deen. So my brothers, we are talking about this so that we can take some practical steps. Now the question is, what practical step? What must I do? What can I do? Because now I understand it's valuable. I understood now the sacrifice. I just give a little bit of references to some of the incidents. But what are we going to do out of this Jummah when I leave? What can I do for the rest of the day, today, tomorrow, going up to the holidays? And that is, inshallah, make an intention that we are going to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to remind ourselves, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Ask yourself a question and answer it yourself also. When last did you talk to your wife and your children about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You talk to them all the time, talk to your children, you talk to your neighbors about everything, your customers and your... Everything, all the discussion, we can talk and talk and talk, but ask yourself a question, did we ever talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did we remind ourselves that who is Allah? Allah is in charge, Allah is responsible. There's a huge virus, there's a big fear now with the second wave. We're not denying, not disputing the fact that it is possible, it's happening, it's a reality, whatever is happening around us. But did we remind ourselves that Allah is the one who is in charge? Nothing happens. And we have to talk. I'm saying it. I'm also maybe, inshallah, hoping that I can benefit. But my request is practical follow-up to this. Is that's what we need to talk about. Take this opportunity and remind ourselves that who is in charge? Who creates sickness? Who creates the cure for the sickness? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's no vaccine. People of media will going to put, say, okay, it's like a hope. If you listen to how the news go, the people are, hope is what? Waiting for some Western world, some medical, somebody was coming, some scientists are very hard, they're hard at work to create some type of vaccination that's gonna come and solve the problems of the world. That is a direct interference with our iman. Because now we shifted that Allah is not responsible. Allah doesn't take, we say, oh, the vaccine is gonna help me, and without the vaccine, we're all doomed. That's the type of mindset that is being created by the media and the hype. And obviously if they want to implement and they want to action this vaccination, then they have to create, how do you give people vaccine if everything is clear and clean? If everybody is happy and everybody is healthy, so there's no need for the vaccination. So they have to create this hype and this buzz. Now there's a second wave and third wave, and 25th wave is going to come. And therefore now we have to implement this vaccination and all of these things. My point is, I'm not disputing about vaccination, about the sickness. We have to all the time remind ourselves that وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَوِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Know well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to a youngster, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, that the whole world, all the scientists and the medical companies all get together, they want to help you, they want to benefit you. They'll never be able to benefit you except to the extent that Allah has decreed it. وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَن يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَدُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ قَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If all of them get together, they want to harm you, they'll never be able to harm you except to the extent that Allah has decreed. So this is an excuse. So we need to talk to ourselves, talk to our families, talk to our neighbors, that this is an opportunity for us to renew our iman and to align and get our hearts once more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not get distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and run to the alternatives. Yes, adopting the means, I'm not going to go into the discussion, is within the framework of our deen. We have to adopt the means. You sick, take the medication, go to the doctor, you have a problem, go to somebody for some help. That is all. I'qilha wa tawakkal. You know, tie our camels and put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we are doing, we are only tying our camels and we are only putting our trust in all our means. We're forgetting that part about Allah is the one who is responsible. Allah is in charge. Nothing happens without the decision and without the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sacrifice the Sahaba made was for that iman. So coming back about practical implementable steps is to make sure, let's try and talk more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend time, as I was going to talk about it, but time has elapsed. Now we're going into this holiday session. Especially our youth, if we don't take care of them, we don't have a worry and concern for them, the sad reality is they're going to go further and further away from deen. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago, he emphasized that amongst those people who will be given shade under the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he specifically mentioned shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah. It is this youngster, the shab. Shab is the youngster, teenager, who is growing up in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he does this, then Allah will give him a special shade on the day of Qiyamah. Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mention the word shab there? He could have said something else. Because that is a crucial part. It is the time where we have to men design and fashion our youngsters, whether it's the girls and whether it's the boys. And if we do not make concerted, intentional, purpose in effort on this category, this group, this age group, then these are going to be our fathers of tomorrow, these are going to be our mothers of tomorrow, these are going to become the leaders of tomorrow, and there's a sad ending to what's going to happen if you not make it, because if you don't make the correct effort from small, then from something that's growing from small, then you don't expect beautiful fruits to come out later on. We have to make effort whilst it's growing. So this holiday season that we have, I was just going to talk a little bit on that. Let's try, inshallah, to make a concerted effort on our youngsters to ensure that they're in the correct environment. Even ourselves, with the excuse of holiday, sometimes we are become so carried away that we forget that we are Muslims. We forget, or maybe we purposely abandon many of our aspects of the whole year we worked hard, but because it's holiday time now, our salah gets discarded, where we go and eat, anywhere we want to eat, you know, it's holiday time now, we have fun, we're not careful about the environments we expose ourselves to, whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, al-maru ala dini khalili, falyanzur ahadukum ma yukhal, a person will sort of follow the friends and the company that he keeps. So the company and the environment is very, very crucial. The ayah of the Quran also I spoke about, I don't have the time to go into that details, where the incident of that individual who abandoned, he went and spat, na'uzubillah, he spat on the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only because of the company that he kept. So especially in this holidays, we have a compounded problem now, Because one is a physical company, we know about you going in so-and-so's company, your friend, Harun, Yusuf, your daughter's physical, that was a challenge already. We had to be careful about whose company to keep. We got a compounded problem now is because the kids, our youngsters and us, we have company in the form of a phone, an iPad, a cell phone, the television, that is automatically open up a whole new dimension. What they got exposure to and access to is mind-boggling. It's something we have to be so careful about and be on guard with regards to which groups we are subscribed to, who we are following on Instagram, on Facebook, and all the other different social media platforms, because that is having a direct impact on our lives, on our hearts, on our thinking, the mindset that we have. So we have to be careful, and also with regards to our youngsters, especially in this holiday season. So the environment that they're exposed to, where they're going out to eat, how ourselves, what we're doing, we have to take out some time to spend some time in a path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and encourage our youth as well to spend some time in the correct environments. We have to take them ourselves. Especially as the parents who are listening, we have to take them ourselves. We have to provide the alternative for them. You know, you're just giving them all the finances and all the tools and then thinking we have done our duty. I spoke in the beginning about the iman, the most valuable thing being our iman, the sacrifice and the appreciation of all of those things. So inshallah, let's hope that this particular holiday season that we're going into, we're going to try and inshallah spend and ensure our youngsters are spending more time in the correct environment, and we're exposing them to the masjids. And alhamdulillah, we're fortunate that tomorrow there'll be a special youth program. All our youngsters are encouraged to attend the youth program at Masjid al-Hilal from Asr till Isha. Inshallah, these programs taking place. Brothers are requested, inshallah, to send all our youngsters, especially the boys from high school upwards, university, etc., that age group, to attend this program. And us who are past that age group already, we inshallah to use this holidays, if we are free, to keep ourselves connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tilka hududullahi fala ta'taduha. In Surah Baqarah, Allah reminds us, these are the limitations, these are the boundaries set out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not transgress that. Because it's the holidays, because I got free time, I don't know what else to do. Now we transgress the limitations and the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is not good. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala should be happy, and you should be happy. Don't make it such that we're thinking we are temporarily enjoying ourselves with some temporary benefit, enjoyments of this world, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unhappy, and rather we're making shaitan and our nafs happy, then that is very dangerous for our iman, and more importantly, it's very dangerous for our eternal salvation. May Allah Tabarakatuh give us tawfiq to practice whatever has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Brothers, can please make the self straight. Let's try and fill in the gaps. You can just please move in.